We're up to the Mishnah at the top of Hey Amud Aleph. The Mishnah starts, Mishalshin b'mamon, you could divide a monetary payment, Vein Mishalshin b'makos. But we don't divide when it comes to makos. We're talking about a case where two Eidim were found to be Zomamin, and either they were obligated to pay, let's say, $100, or they were obligated to get, they tried to have somebody get Malkus. So, the halacha is kasher, zamam lasos la'achiv, they get what they tried to do to their friend. So if they tried to make him pay $100, they could divide that $100, two witnesses $100, they each get a $50 penalty. But the Mishnah says, when it comes to the 39 Malkus, they don't get to divide that, and each one has to get the 39. Says the Mishnah, ketzad, how so? Heiduhu, shehu chayev lachaveiro, they testified about somebody that he was obligated to pay 200 zuz. Venimtu zomamin, and they were zomamin. Mishalshin beinehim, they could divide the money. Avalim heidu shehu chayiv malkus arboim. But if they testified about a person that he was chayiv malkus, venimtu zomamin, and turns out that they're zomamin, so they get the same punishment. Kol echad v'echad lo k'arboim. The halacha is, each one of them gets malkus arboim. They don't divide the malkus. The Gemara asks a question. On the seventh line in the Gemara, Hey Amud Aleph, Minoha Nemili, what's the source for this halacha? That we could divide the money, but we can't divide the Malkus. Amar Abaye, Abaye says, Nemar Rasha b'chayvi Malkios, v'nemar Rasha b'chayvi Misos Bezdin. The word Rasha is used when it comes to the punishment of Malkus, and the word Rasha is used by Misos Bezdin, by Bezdin giving a capital punishment, putting somebody to death. Ma'ala halah, and just like when it comes to putting somebody to death, in misa lemechza, you can't halfway kill somebody, you can't divide the death penalty, you can't stone half of him and half of him. Afkan in malchus lemechza, so we make a gzera shava to teach us, we connect the two punishments to teach, you also can't give half malchus. Rava Amar, Rava says a different reason. Ve'inun kasher zamam lasos la'achiv veleka. You have to punish the way that they tried to do to the person. They tried to give the person 39 malchus. And if you would give each of them 19 and a half, that wouldn't be the way they tried to do it. The Gemara asks, Ihachi, if so, mamonami. Money also. If each one has to pay $50, well, they didn't try to get their friend to have to pay $50. They tried to get their friend to have to pay $100. So the Gemara answers, mamon mitstarif malchus lo mitstarif. Money can combine. The 50 plus 50 equals 100, but Malkus does not combine. You can't combine 19 and a half and 19 and a half. There's no such thing. What's the Sfara? So, some of the Achronim say, the Sfara is very simple. If I pay 50 and somebody else pays 50, together we paid 100. But when it comes to Malkus, the first Makkah is not as bad as the 39th. The first Makkah hurts a little bit. The second Makkah hurts a little bit more. When you get up there, the more Malkus you get, it hurts not only because the makkah, but it hurts also because it's a makkah that's on top of other makkos. So now your back is all wounded, wherever you're getting the malchus, and that's why it hurts more. So if you would give half to him and half to the other guy, they would never get the same amount of punishment that one person who has to endure all of the lamites of the 39 malchus. And that's why they don't combine, and therefore you have to get separate full sets of Malkus. So again, the Gemara asks for the source, why we split when it comes to Makos. We allow them to divide when it comes to money, but when it comes to Makos, each one gets a full set. Abaye says, Gzera Shava from Chiyuv Misos Bezdin, and Rava says, it's because you're not fulfilling Kasher Zamam Lasos Lachiv. The next Mishnah, says the Mishnah, Eina Edom Nasim Zomanat Sheizimu Es Atzman. Edom cannot become Zomman until they are mazim themselves. Kate said, what does that mean? How is that so? We testify about Reuven that he killed somebody. Two witnesses come in and say, how could you testify that Reuven killed Shimon? The person who was killed, Shimon. Or Reuven, the murderer. Reuven was with us, or Shimon was with us. The halacha is, ein elu zomamin. That's not hazama. That's going to be trey u'trey. Two witnesses against two witnesses. But that's not the din of Edom Zomin. What's the din of Edom Zomin? Aval, Amr Lahem, but if they say, hey, achatem me'idim, how could you testify that Reuven killed Shimon? in New York, Shariatim, he said mimano osayom b'makom ploni. You were with us in Florida at that time. Harei elu zomamin v'nerogan alpiyam. Then there's zomamin, and based on that testimony, they could be put to death. If they tried to get Ruvein achiv misa, they'll get the achiv misa. Bo acherim v'hizimum, bo acherim v'hizimum. Now, let's say two more witnesses come in and say that Reuven killed Shimon. And the witnesses say, yeah, you guys were with us also in Florida. And two more witnesses come and say, we saw Reuven kill Shimon in New York. And they said, nah, you were with us in Florida also. Afilu Meya. Even 100 sets of witnesses come in and they say, no, all of you guys were with us in New York, in Florida, when you claim the murder happened in New York. Kulam Yehargu. All of them are Edom Zomim. All of them get the death penalty. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, istatis hizu. This is an istatis, which is some type of conspiracy. This is clearly planned. Ve'en onerag elakas rishona bilvad. And the halacha is that you only kill the first set of witnesses. And the Gemara is going to go into detail what exactly happened here. Okay. Says the Gemara. The Gemara asks a question. Second wide line, Hayamad Aleph. Minohani mili. What's the source for this halacha? Again, the first halacha in the Mishnah was that the Edom themselves have to be the ones that the Hazama happens to, that you guys were with us, not the murderer or the murderee, the Horeg or the Naharag were with us, but rather the witnesses were with us. Says the Gemara, Amar Ravada says, based on a pasuk, Vihine Eid Sheker Ha'ed, and behold, Eid Sheker Ha'ed, Sheker Ana. What is that? How do we darsh in that pasuk? I don't understand that pasuk. Until the testimony itself becomes sheker. And the Gemara understands that means the testimony itself means the edim themselves. The ones giving the testimony have to become sheker. But if the sheker happens because the murderer was not there, that's not gufa shel edus becoming sheker. Gufa shel edus becoming sheker is only if it's the witnesses who were somewhere else. Dvei Rabbi Shmuel, Tanav, Dvei Rabbi Shmuel, the Academy of Rabbi Shmuel had a different opinion. La'anos bo sara. The pasuk says la'anos bo sara, which means to testify. Sara means to turn away, to be removed, to be taken away. Ad shetisra gufa shel edus, until the guf of the edus, the body of the testimony, the main part of the testimony, is taken away. What does that mean? That means the witnesses are the main part of the testimony. Amar Rava. So Rava says a new halach. Abo shnayim v'amru v'mizrach bira harag plonis ha-nefesh. Two guys come in and say, in the east of the bira, of the palace, Reuven killed Shimon. Harag plonis ha-nefesh, so-and-so killed somebody. Ubo shnayim v'amru v'halo b'marav bira imanu ha-yisam. And two other guys came and say, how could you claim that at 11 a.m. in the east wing of the palace, Reuven killed Shimon, but you were with us in the west wing at that time? So the Gemara says, how do we determine this? Rava says, Chazinon, we see, Ikitakaimi b'marav bira, mechsi chazu l'mizrach bira. If when you're standing in the west of the palace, you can see straight through to the east, ain't elu zomin. They're not zomin. In other words, it's not a contradiction to their testimony. It could be they were standing in the west, but they still saw Reuven kill Shimon. Ve'im lav, but if you can't see, hare elu zomamin. Then they become zomin. The Gemara asks a question, pshita, that's obvious. There was no chiddush. No novelty in what you just taught me. That's obvious. If you could see the crime from where you're standing, then it counts. If you couldn't have seen the crime, then it doesn't count. The Gemara answers, Mahu detema lechosh lenahora bari. Maybe we should think that maybe this guy has super eyesight. Maybe he could see really far away. Maybe he could see through walls. Kamash malon. Therefore, the Mishnah comes to teach us, the halach of Rava comes to teach us that a person... We don't assume that he has supernatural powers, bionic vision, and instead the halacha is if a regular person can see, then the testimony is good. If a regular person can't see, then they're edim zomin. V'amar Rava, and Rava said another halacha. Bo shnayim v'amar b'sura. Two guys come in and said in sura, that's a town. B'tzafra in the morning b'chad b'shabsa Sunday morning harag ploni es nefesh. We saw Reuven kill Shimon. Ubo shnayim v'amru b'panya b'chad v'shab so imanu isim ben arda. What do you mean? In the afternoon, you guys were with us in arda. So chazinan, we see. Imi tzafra l'panya matzi ozol misura l'arda. If it's possible to travel from the morning to the afternoon, you could travel from sura to arda. Lo havi zomen, then they're not zomen. There's no contradiction. They saw the murder happen. They got on their horses, and then they traveled to Narda. V'ilav havizomamin. But if not, if you can't get from Surah to Narda from the morning to the afternoon, if it's a two-day trip, well, then you're Edom Zoman, because you couldn't have seen it in Surah in the morning if you were in Narda Sunday afternoon. The Gemara says, Pshita. This too is obvious. Is this not an obvious calculation? Would anybody have thought differently? Says the Gemara, Ma'od Dutem, I might have thought. Lechosh Lagamla Parcha. Maybe we should be concerned about a Gamla Parcha. A flying camel. What do you mean a flying camel? Means somebody has the ability to go really fast. Maybe your camel goes very speedy and can get there. So come Mash Malan, therefore Rava comes to teach us. We don't assume that you have a Gamla Parcha and say, oh, maybe you really made it in time. You made it to Narda in time. We don't assume that. Now, obviously, that has to take into account whatever the mode of traveling is. Nowadays, a person can be in New York in the morning and then be in Florida in the afternoon. That's not a contradiction. So that would be obvious that such a case, a person can still have witnessed an event in New York in the morning. Again, it has to be based on the reasonable methods of travel from one place to another. V'amar Rava. Rava says another halacha. Ba'u shnayim v'amru b'chad b'shabs harik ploni sa nefesh. Two guys come and say that on Sunday, Reuven killed Shimon. You were with us on Sunday. You did not see Reuven kill Shimon on Sunday. Ella. But, say the witnesses, the second set of witnesses, betray b'shabsa harak ploni sa nefesh. On Monday, Reuven killed Shimon. So you're correct that Reuven killed Shimon. But you claim that it happened on Sunday. Couldn't have happened on Sunday because you were with us. But it did happen on Monday. So the velo ode. Not only in such a case where you testified about it having happened before it actually happened, at least according to the second group of witnesses. Ela afilu amru erev Shabbos harik ploni sa nefesh. What if they said that Reuven killed Shimon on Friday already? In other words, by the time they testified on Sunday that on Sunday Reuven killed Shimon, Reuven had already killed Shimon. The halacha is neharogin. They get put to death. Why? The be'idna at the time to come as hadi, at the time that they testified, gavra lav bar katalahu. This person was not a bar katala. He wasn't yet somebody who was supposed to be put to death. Because even though he killed, assuming that Reuven killed Shimon and he did it on Friday, but the fact that Reuven killed Shimon on Friday doesn't mean he's a bar katala. He deserves the death penalty. You only deserve a death penalty once you're put to death, once Beis Din declares you guilty. But even if you already killed, but you haven't had a court case yet, nobody testified against you, you're not yet a bar katala. So when the two witnesses came into Beis Din and say Reuven killed Shimon on Sunday, they were trying to put him to death, and he doesn't yet have a prior bar katala status, even though he might have already, for real, killed earlier. Since witnesses have not yet come in, he's not yet a bar katala. Says the Gemara, Mai Kamash Balun. Here too, what's the chiddush? What's so novel about what you just taught us? Tanina, we already learned this. Lefichach, nimtzeis achas mehen zomemes. What, in a case where you have two witnesses, this is the Gemara in Daf Vav. If two people come in from this window and two people from that window, and you have a guy in the middle, so technically, and you had somebody giving Hasra in the middle, is that case? So technically, you can kill one set of witnesses if they don't combine. If the two witnesses don't combine, you could have one of those sets of witnesses becoming Edom Zomen and being put to death for trying to put Reuven to death. And at the same time, we can accept the testimony of the other witnesses and have Reuven put to death. So Reuven can be put to death, and two of the witnesses can be put to death for being Edom Zomen. Hu vehein erogen vashni apetura. So the Gemara answers, Seifa masha enkin b'gmar din itztrichalei. It's needed for the Seifa, which says, masha enkin b'gmar din. How so? So the Gemara explains. Bo shnayim v'amur b'chad b'shabsa nigmar dino shel ploni. This case, two guys come in and say, on Sunday, Reuven was convicted of having killed Shimon, and now he's chayiv misa. Ubo shnayim, we saw, on Sunday morning, we were in court when Reuven was found guilty, and then he ran away. And now we're coming to Beis Din to testify that he's chayiv misa. And two witnesses come in and say, no, 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 no. You were with us on Sunday morning. You were not in the Beis Din where you claim you were. Ela be'erev Shabbos nigmar dino shel ploni. Except that really, Reuven was found guilty on Erev Shabbos, and then he escaped. V'lo od ela afilu amar betrei b'Shabbos nigmar dino shel ploni. Even if they said on Monday that he was found guilty and he's bar katala. The halacha is ein elu neharagin. In such a case, the witnesses do not get killed. They come in on Wednesday and they say, on Sunday morning we saw Reuven get a guilty verdict and he's chayav misa and then he escaped. And the witnesses come in and say, no, you couldn't have seen that. You were with us. But Reuven was found guilty on Monday morning or on Friday morning. So the halacha is, if the Edom are found to be Zomamin, if we accept that testimony and the Edom are Zomamin, we do not kill them. They tried to give Reuven Misa. The Gemara answers, the Be'idna, the Kamishadi, Gavra Bar Katalahu. Since there was already a verdict that had him getting the death penalty, he's considered a Bar Katala, and we, in fact, they're not really trying to put somebody to death that wasn't already supposed to be killed, and killing a bar katala doesn't get you the death penalty. So these Edom Zomim would not be put to death. V'chein le'inin tashlumei knas. And the same halacha would be by a knas, by a monetary penalty. Bo shnayim v'amur b'chad b'shabes ha'gana v'tavach u'machar. There's a knas when a person steals and then slaughters and shechts that they pay 4 or 5. The psukim in Parshas Mishpatim. So gana v'tavach u'machar. So they're trying to get him to pay a knas above and beyond the money that he'd have to pay for the value of the animal. He stole the animal, he shechted it, and then he sold it. So, two witnesses come in and say, on Sunday we saw him steal it, we saw him shecht it, we saw him sell it. So he's chayev to pay this knas. Ubo shnayim v'amru b'chad b'shab so'imanu ayisim. And two other guys come and say, you were with us Sunday morning. Ela b'trei b'shab so'kanu v'tachu machar. But what you claim happened on Sunday actually happened on Monday. Mishalman. They have to pay. V'lo od ela afilu amur be'erev Shabbos gana v'tavach u'machar. Even if they say it happened on Friday, where Reuven had already committed the deed, he already stole the animal, shechted the animal, and sold the animal on Friday. And they come into Beis Din, and they say, we saw it happen on Sunday. The halacha is, they still have to pay. Why? De be'idna, de kamishadi, gavra lav bar tashlumenu. Because the rule is that knas is determined by Beis Din, and at that time, he wasn't obligated to pay. So the Gemara says, such a case, Edom Zomamin would be obligated to pay because they tried to get Reuven to have to pay this knas, this penalty, and at the time that they testified, he wouldn't have otherwise had to pay the penalty. Bo Shnayim, 5 lines from the bottom. However, Bo Shnayim v'amru b'chad b'shab so'gonov v'tavach u'machar, witnesses come in and say, on Sunday morning, he stole, he slaughtered, Umachar, and then he sold it, v'nigmar dino, and he was brought to Beis Din, he was found guilty, and now he has to pay a knas. Ubo shnayim v'amru b'chad b'shab so'imanu hisim. And two other guys come in and say, you were with us on Sunday morning. Ela erev Shabbos gana v'tavach u'machar, but he did it on Friday. V'nigmar dino, and he was found to be guilty, he owed the money already from Friday. V'lo od ela afilu amru b'chad b'shab so'gana v'tavach u'machar, u'betrei b'shab so'nigmar dino. He stole, he slaughtered, he sold. That was Sunday, and Nigmar Dino on Monday. And now these witnesses are coming in on Wednesday and claiming it happened on Sunday. They turn out to be Edom Zomamin. The halacha is, they don't have to pay. Ein Mishalman, second line from the bottom. They don't have to pay. Why not? Debeidna, de kamishadi gavra bar tashlumenu. Because at the time that they paid, the person, the Reuven, was a bar tashlumin. Since there was already a gemar din that was obligating him to pay, he already owed the money. If he owed the money, so you can't call him these witnesses as having tried to impose a penalty on him. The penalty was already imposed. The fact that he hadn't paid it was just, it wasn't enforced. But he already owed the money, and just like the bar katala, they're not chayv misa, they're not trying to get him the death penalty, he already has the death penalty. It just hasn't been imposed. So too, when it comes to knas, it hasn't. Once he owes the money, even if it hasn't been collected, it's been imposed, and therefore they're not really causing him a loss. He already owes the money. There's a very interesting Tosos, just to point out, the bottom Tosos on Daf Hey Amud Aleph. Tosos says, the Gemara made no mention of a mammon penalty. If Reuven stole, if the case was, instead of it being a knas, or chiv misa, what if it was Reuven stole $100 from Shimon? So the Tosos says that if such an issue arose, the halacha would be different. They definitely wouldn't have to pay. Why? So Tosu says, because you're probably a bar tashlumen. You probably have to pay. Why? Because if Reuven comes in and he says, Reuven stole $100 from Shimon, presumably, says Tosus, Shimon b'mamon havikarov levadai shivo edin v'yaidu. It's most certain that he's going to be able to get witnesses. It's not such a big deal to get witnesses and for the Bezin to accept the testimony that Reuven stole $100 from Shimon. Aval be'edus nefashos to be in a drisha v'chakira. There are special halachos when it comes to edus nefashos. We take it more seriously. We have drisha v'chakira. The Mishnayos Sanhedrin discuss all of the things that you need to do in order to investigate to make sure that the person is telling the truth, so that it's more likely that we're going to be able to trip up the witnesses and not accept the testimony. So it's not really so likely. But when it comes to monetary penalty, it's not so hard to get a conviction, and therefore we can assume already that when witnesses come, they're not even trying to get Reuven to pay $100, because it's almost as if he already owes it. Rabbi Akiva Eger, there's a tzion over here to Gilyan Hashas. I'll just tell you very briefly. Rabbi Akiva Eger asks a question. Why did Tosfos have to say, because it's so easy to get a conviction when it comes to monetary penalties, you just get two witnesses to stand up there and say, Reuven killed Shimon, we accept the testimony, and voila, he owes the money. Says Rabbi Akiva Eger, that's not why. The reason is because when it comes to money, if Reuven steals $100 from Shimon, Reuven owes Shimon $100, regardless of whether or not Beis Din convicts him. Reuven, if Beis Din says we don't have enough proof that Reuven stole $100, so we're not going to make Reuven pay. That doesn't mean Reuven doesn't owe the money. It just means Beis Din's not going to make him pay. But if Reuven stole $100 and Reuven knows that he stole $100, of course Reuven has to pay the money. So that's why, because Reuven, whether or not Reuven has to pay, doesn't really have to do with Beis Din. It really has to do with whether or not Reuven stole the money. But when it comes to Knas or Chiyuv Misa, even if somebody was Mechalel Shabbos, or they killed another person, or they stole, slaughtered, and sacrificed an animal, in any of those cases, you don't owe the money unless Beis Din gave you a guilty verdict and you have to pay, or you have to get punished. Without the guilty verdict, you don't owe. You're not Chayiv Misa unless Beis Din says you're Chayiv Misa. You don't owe the Knas unless Beis Din says you owe the Knas. As opposed to money, where if I stole $100, I owe the $100. Beis Din is just there to enforce the penalty. But I owe it regardless. That's what Rukiv Eger says. If you want to look into the sugi a little bit more, Rabbi Chana Wasserman deals with this at length, disagrees with Rukiv Eger. It's printed in the Kovet Shurman Chelek Beis, Simin Yud Gimel. Ayin Shem. The Gemara at the bottom line of Hey Amud Aleph continues. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Istatis Hizu. Rabbi Yehuda says, we don't accept all of these witnesses because Istatis Hizu. This is it's a scandal. It's all these people getting together and plotting to get somebody in trouble. It can't be that so many people saw the same thing. The Gemara asks a question, top of Hamad Beis, E Istatis Hizu, if this is really an Istatis, if this is people getting together and plotting to get somebody in trouble, so then afilu kasvi shona namilo. Then even the first group of witnesses, why do we accept the first group of witnesses' testimony? Why do we kill the first group of witnesses? So the Gemara answers, namilo, afilu kasvi shona namilo. Amar Rabbi Avo, second line of the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Avo, shekad muvahargu. No, of course, it's an istatis, and we wouldn't kill anybody. But here we're talking about a case where the first group was actually killed already. So the Gemara says, so then my dahava hava. Why is the Mishnah telling this to us? If the case is that the first two were already put to death, so then obviously they're already put to death. There's nothing to do about it. My dahava hava. Whatever happened happened. There's no shaila to paskin. What's the halach in this case? It doesn't matter. it already happened. We killed the people. So the Gemara says, third line, Ela Amarava Hachika Amar. Rava says, this is what it means. Im eina ela kas achas neregas. If it's kas rishona, meaning if there's only one group, then we'll kill them. Ii katfei, but if it's a mea, 100 people, then ein neregas. We don't kill them because it's an istatus. The Gemara asks a question on that explanation, on that pshat. Ha bilvad kamar. What do you mean? But it said, ein neregas ela kas achas bilvad. Only them get punished. Only them get killed. The word bilvad means you can't say that it's two separate cases. If there's only two people, we put them to death. If there's a lot of groups, then we won't. But ein neregas ela kas achas bilvad means we're talking about they're all testifying together and we're only going to kill the first ones. So how could you? So the pshat that you just gave doesn't work. The Gemara answers, kasha. You're right. It's a question. So the truth is, and we have this. We have this later on, but the kasha means the Gemara ends off with a question, but it's not a tiyufta. The Rishon of the Rush in Maseches Brachos, in Perek Tefilas HaShachar, Rashi in Perek Mensorah Amora, and the Rashbam in Bava Basra, others as well, point out that the word kasha doesn't mean that we're going to reject this answer. It just means it's a question, it remains a question, but there is an answer. It doesn't completely kill this pshat. Okay. The Gemara now tells a story. Fifth line of the Gemara. Hahi itza da asoya sahadi beishtaker. There was a woman who brought witnesses to testify. They were found to be liars. Aisi sahadi, she brought another group of witnesses, beishtaker, and they were found to be liars. Ozla aisi sahadi achreini, she went and she brought a third set of witnesses, the loishtaker, and they were found to be telling the truth. Amar Reish Lakish huchsukazu. Reish Lakish said, we're not accepting this third group of witnesses because this woman is muchsak. She is already, we've already determined that this woman established herself that the witness, that she brings witnesses, meaning we can't trust anybody she brings. You're right that we can't trust her, but if the two witnesses were kosher, these two witnesses don't have any prior background of having lied. So it's true that we can't trust her, but these two witnesses, they're kosher witnesses. How can we reject them? The Gemara says, Zimin and Havayasvi kamid Rabbi Yochanan, there were times when they were sitting before Rabbi Yochanan and such a similar incident came before him. And Reish Lakish said about this case, the guy who's bringing these witnesses is established a liar. It's you can't trust the witnesses he brings. Rabbi Yochanan responded, the same thing. It's true you cannot trust the person who brings them, but the actual witnesses, why shouldn't we trust them? They're kosher witnesses. They saw the Rabbi Elazar was withholding. He was holding something in. Shamat mili mi bar nafcha. Did you hear something? Is there something you heard from bar nafcha? So the Gemara says, v'lo amrit li mishmei, and you didn't tell me what happened? So the Gemara says, now the Gemara says, "Leimur Reish Lakish Damar Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Yochanan Damar Rabbanan." So maybe we'll say that this machlokas Reish Lakish and Rabbanan and Rabbi Yochanan is dependent on the machlokas Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan. In other words, Rabbi Yehuda, by the case of Estatus, was willing to say there's circumstantial evidence to say that all these people are liars, even though technically two witnesses come, we would believe them if they tell the truth. But this case shows us that they're all liars. And even though we don't know them, we have no reason to believe that they are liars. This whole case shows us that everybody's a liar. And Reish Lakish said the same thing. This woman who brings these people, they're all liars. The Gemara says, and Rabbi Yochanan who says, you can't do that to individual witnesses. You could do that to the woman who brings them. But once she brings two witnesses, you can't say that they're liars just because. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan damak Rabbanan, and Rabbi Yochanan holds like the Rabbanan who disagree with Rabbi Yehuda. Amalach Reish Lakish, Reish Lakish responds, Ana da amri lucha filu Rabbanan. I hold even like the Rabbanan. I can go like the Rabbanan. Reish Lakish doesn't want to be forced into agreeing with Rabbi Yehuda. Ad kan lo kami Rabbanan hasam. Rabbanan and the Mishnah, by the case of Istatis, only said their opinion, the leka de kamahader. because nobody was going to bring them. In other words, they all came on their own. So if they all came on their own, we can't look at any two witnesses and say, you guys are liars. Aval hacha, but by my case, says Reish Lakish, aval hacha, de ikaha de kamahadra. What do you mean? There's one person who's bringing everybody in. She's recruiting all these people. If she's recruiting all these people, so then there's reason to say that they all come from her. She's a liar. They're all liars. Rabbi Yochanan amar lecha ana damri afilu Rabbi Yehuda. And Rabbi Yochanan says, I can even work within Rabbi Yehuda. Ad kan lo kam Rabbi Yehuda hasam. Rabbi Yehuda over there. Rabbi Yehuda over there by the case of Estatis. Why did he say that you can assume that everybody's a liar? Damrinan atu kuli alma gabi hane havikaimi. Right? Is it possible? Sorry. Not that the witnesses are liars, that these two who are trying to be mazim everybody are liars. Meaning, they're coming to these 100 witnesses. Sorry. The case of Istatis is, two witnesses come in and say, Reuven killed Shimon. Two other witnesses come in and say, you were with us. So they would get killed. What happens if another two witnesses come in and say, Reuven killed Shimon, and then they said, you were with us. And then a third set came in, and then the group said, you were with us. So the Gemara says, over here, Rabbi Yehuda holds that because it doesn't make sense. This one group of witnesses was hanging out with 100 groups of witnesses. They were all with you in Florida? That doesn't make sense. Kule alma, gabi hani avikaima. Everybody was hanging out with you? That doesn't make sense. Aval hacha. But here, the case of the woman who brought those people, or a person who brought a bunch of witnesses who were found to be liars, hani yada besudasa besahadusa, vahani lo yada besahadusa. Here is different. The case of bringing the people in, the first people were liars, the second people were liars, the third people are telling the truth. Why is that so difficult? But to assume that there's 100 groups of witnesses here, 200 people, and they were all hanging out with these witnesses in a different state. They all claim they were in New York and they saw the murder. And these two guys say, no, you guys were all with us in Florida. It doesn't sound so likely that all 200 people were with them in Florida. But if there's three groups of witnesses, the first two guys were liars. The second was liars. The third ones are telling the truth. That is the end of the Gemara up till the Mishnah. We continue the Mishnah on Hamad Bey's second wide line. It says the Mishnah, Ein ha'edim zomin erogin achi yigmar adin. We don't give edim zomin. If people are found to be Edom Zomen, they would only get the punishment after the Gemar Din, after the verdict was handed down. Shahariat Tzdukim Omer Matshe Yehorik. Now the Tzdukim took it one step further. They said not only does the verdict have to be handed down, but it has to be carried out. We have to kill them already. Once they're killed, then we would kill the Edom Zomen. That was the Tzdukim, the people who only believed in the Torah Shebichsav. We, the Pirushim, who believe in Torah Shebal Peh, disagreed with the Tzdukim, and we killed them, and we'll see why, but we only kill the Edom Zomen after the verdict, before it's carried out. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, that Tzedukim said, Nefesh tachas nefesh. A soul for a soul. So it has to be that the soul was killed, say the Tzedukim. Omer lam chacham, na lachachamim, said to the Tzedukim, V'alo kvar nemar, v'asisim lo kasher zomam, la'asos la'achiv. You do as you plan to do to your brother, harayachav kayim, but he's still your brother, he's still alive. You plan to do it to him, but he's still alive. So there's a contradiction between the Pesukim. So if that's true, but the Tzedukim had a good point, it's a nefesh tachas nefesh. So the Gemara says, Yachol mishasha kiblu eduson yehargu. I might have thought, once they gave their testimony and we accepted their testimony, they should be put to death. Talmud lomar, therefore the Pasuk comes to teach us, nefesh tachas nefesh, a soul for a soul. Ha'in an erogan achi yigmar adin. Once there's a Gemar Din, as we spoke about before, once there's a Gemar Din, there's already they're already marked for death. They're already, it's as if they're put to death because they have a Chi of Misa and Beis Din is going to put them to death. And that's what it means, Nefesh Tachash Nefesh. But not that they're actually put to death, because it says, Kasher Zamam Lasos La'achiv, like you tried to do to your brother, but you didn't do it yet. Says the Gemara, Tana Baribi Omer, Lo Hargu Neharagin, Hargu In Neharagin. If they did not yet cause Reuven to be killed, they get killed if they're found to be Zomen. But if Reuven was put to death, they don't get killed. Amar Aviv. So Beribi's father said, Bini, my son, Lav Kavachomer, who? Can't we learn out of Kavachomer? What's the Kavachomer? If when they don't put him to death, we kill him, if when we don't put him to death, we're going to kill the Edim Zomamin. And certainly, if we put him to death, we should kill the Edim Zomamin. Says Gemara Amar Lo, Limaratenu Rabbeinu, our rabbis taught us, She'enon Shemin Adin. You can't punish based on a Kal V'chomer. Even though the Kal V'chomer sounds like a good logical proof, we don't punish based on a Kal V'chomer. D'tanya, we have a braisa. Isha Sher Yikach Esachoso, a man who takes his, this is talking about forbidden relationships that one gets a death penalty for. Isha Sher Yikach Esachoso Basavavo Basimo, a man who takes his sister, either his, they have the same father or they have the same mother. Now, Ein Li Elo Basavo, the Pasuk said, is they have the same father, or bas imo, or they had the same mother. Ein li ela bas aviv shelo bas imo, ubas imo shelo bas aviv. From the pasuk, I only know that they share a mother, a father, but they don't share a mother, or they share the mother, but they don't share a father, so they're half siblings. Bas imo bas aviv minayin. How do I know that if they are full siblings, they have the same mother and the same father, and they live together, how do I know that they get punished? Talmud lomer ervas achoso gila. The erva of your sister you have exposed. The pasuk goes out of its way to teach us that if it's a full sister, you also get punished. Now the Gemara asks, "Ad shlo yomar yeshli ad shi yomar." Before the pasuk says, "Ervatsa chaso gila," what do I need that for? Yeshli bedin. It's a kal v'chomer. Im ana shabasa aviv shalom basima ubasimo shalom basaviv. If the Torah is going to punish you for your half sister, you have the same father, not the same mother, or you have the same mother, not the same father. Basaviv ubasimo lo kol shekein. Certainly, we're going to punish you if you have the same mother and the same father. So why did the pasuk have to go out of its way to say ervasa chosogila halamadata she'ein onshin min adin? The pasuk comes to teach us that we don't punish based on a kal v'chomer. Okay, it says Gemara onesh shamanu azhar minayin. So we see that that's true by an onesh. How do we know that that's true by an azhara? That the same thing applies. The ein maz here in min adin. Talmud lomar ervas achoscha, the erva of your sister bas avicha o bas imecha. The daughter of your father, you have the same father. Oh, or basimecha, daughter of your mother, you have the same mother. Now says the Braisa, Ein li ela bas aviv shalom bas ima ubasimo shalom bas aviv. I only know of a case where it's you have the same father, not the same mother, or you have the same mother, not the same father. Bas aviv ubasimo minayin. How do I know if you share a mother and a father, a full sister? How do I know that there's an azhara, a warning not to do it? Tamad lomar ervas bas eishes avicha, moledes avicha achoscha hi. The erva of the daughter of your father's wife, who was born to your father, is your sister. That pasuk teaches us an azhara, a warning not to do it. So ad shelo yomar, the Braisa says, ad shelo yomar yishli min adin. Before the pasuk says it, I have it logically. Ma'im huzar al basimo shalom bas aviv, ubas aviv shalom basimo. Now, if we're warned that we're not allowed to live with a sister from our mother, not from our father, or from our father, not from our mother, bas aviv ubasimo lo kol shekein, isn't it for sure kol shekein that a woman who's our sister from our mother and our father, a full sister, certainly there's an azhar, there's a warning not to live with her. So the Gemara says, Halamadata, this comes to teach us, She'ein mazhirin min adin. We can't punish you based on a kal v'chomer. The Gemara says, Chayv malchus minayin. That was by a chi of Misa. How do we know that this halach is true by chi of malchus also? Talmud lomar, Rasha. Gzereshava, Rasha, that says Rasha by chi of malchus, and it says Rasha by chi of Misa. And just like the halacha is by one, halach applies to the other as well. Chayvi Golios Minayin. How do we know that it's true by the Chi of Golos? Asi Rotzeach, Rotzeach. The word Rotzeach appears in both cases, so we can apply the same halacha. Tanya, Am Rabbi Huda ben Taboy. Rabbi Huda ben Taboy says, Ere ben Achama, may I see comfort. Im lo harakti eid zomim, had I not killed an eid zomim, lahotzi mi liban shal tzedukim, to be motzi from the lave of the tzedukim, meaning to prove, to put a stand, to show that they're wrong. Shahayu omrim eina eidim zomim haragin ad sheharag anidon. They said that Edim Zomim don't get killed until the person is put to death. The person that they tried to get killed was put to death. So they said this, so there was a case where before the person was put to death, somebody was found to be Edim Zomim, so in order to prove a point, I made sure everybody knows, I put them to death to prove, to make a point, and take a stand that the Tzedukim are wrong. Amalo Shimon ben Shetach. Shimon ben Shetach said to Rabbi Yehuda ben Taboy, I'm so sorry, I don't know if you realize, Ere ben Achama, may I see comfort. Im lo shafachta dam naki, if you didn't pour dam naki, pure blood, innocent blood, not so innocent, but he shouldn't have been killed. Shahari Amru Chachamim, because the Chachamim said, Ein ha'edim zomim in erogen ad sheizum ushneim. Vein loken ad sheizum ushneim. We had a halacha. We had a halacha earlier in the Masechta that both of them have to become zomimin. You said there was an Eid Echad, one witness. No, one witness we don't put to death. You put him to death. You killed an innocent man. Miad kibal alav Rabbi Yehuda ben Taboy. Immediately, Rabbi Yehuda ben Taboy accepted upon himself she'ino mora hora elo lefnei Shimon ben Shetach. He would not paskin a shayla unless it was before Shimon ben Shetach in order to make sure that he wouldn't make a mistake. V'chol yomav shor Rabbi Yehuda ben Taboy haya mishtateach al kivro shal oso ha'ed. And the whole life of Rabbi Yehuda ben Taboy, he would constantly bow down, asking for mechila by the grave of that witness that he put to death. V'haya kolo nishma. And there was noises that came out of that, from that area. Voices came out. Ukesvurin ha'am lomar kolo shel haruk. People thought that it was the voice of the person who was killed, shouting at Rabbi Yehuda ben Taboy. So they thought that he hadn't forgiven him. Amar Rabbi Yehuda ben Taboy said, koli shelihu. No. The noise that you heard was my voice. Teidu, I'll prove it to you. Lamachar humes. Tomorrow he's going to die, referring to himself. Tomorrow I'm going to die. In other words, eventually I'm not going to be alive anymore. And you'll see, ain kolo nishma. You'll go to the grave, you'll never hear the voices again. So Amar le Ravacha b'rei d'Rav l'Ravashi. So they said, that's not a good raya. Dilma bedina kam b'hadei. Maybe the reason is because when you get up to Shemayim, as you're saying, once you die, you won't hear the voices anymore. And that'll prove that it was your voice. So they said, no, that doesn't prove that it's your voice. Maybe after you die, you went up to Shemayim, and you got punished for it, and you're not chayiv anymore. Dina kambade, you got punished for it. You were omid bedin on it. Inami piyusei paisei, piyusei. Maybe you got up to Shemayim, and you went straight to the guy that you killed by accident, and you asked him for mechila, and then he forgave you. But maybe it was his voice. So it doesn't prove that it was your voice. Not that they disagreed with him, but just his proof was not a conclusive proof. We'll continue the next year with the Mishnah on the bottom of Hey Amud Beis.